All right, we're recording, and I am here with the beautiful Kim Waring, and I'm so grateful that she has agreed to pay it forward and share her insights and lessons with you, ladies. So hello, Kim, first of all.
Hello.
Hello, and you're going to see her, listen to her amazing accent, which is so much cooler than mine. And we're just going to love to hear you talk. I'm going to have you say vitamin and aluminium as many times as possible, okay?
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on this call. And I'm just going to go ahead and dive on in. So before we dive into the questions at hand, you know, I'm curious, could you just give us a little bit of an overview about where you were when you started this program and when we came to work together earlier this year? Just share just a little bit about where you were before you started integrating all these philosophies and strategies.
Yeah. Okay. So I was 53 when I started working with Leanne this year, and I was at the lowest, a really low point, really, just feeling really miserable, sort of overweight, flabby, frumpy, feeling like I was past it. Thought that losing weight was the only way to restrict food and exercise excessively, burpees and goodness knows what else, which I absolutely hated. So I'd done lots of sort of 30-day diet plans where you were told what to eat when and what to how to exercise or what exercises to do. And they're fine for the 30 days that you're on there and you lose weight. But 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, I'm back to what I would have been eating before and wasn't exercising because it just was not for me. So I was kind of like, this is my last kind of try at this, really. I mean, I was conscious that I'm getting older, and you know, I don't want to be really ill when I'm older and immobile and, you know, not being able to do what I want to do. And I just felt everything was a struggle. I kind of resented having to do food prep on the weekend. I like to cook, and everything was just life just felt so hard. That was the thing, you know. I didn't like going out because I didn't know what to wear. And when I did wear something, were people judging me and talking about me all the time? If I ate a bit of cake when I was out, were people again judging me because of how I looked? And right. Life was shit. Let's just call it what it is.
I love it. Yeah.
It was hard. It was a constant struggle,
yeah,
and a constant battle with you know, food and what I should be eating, could be eating, shouldn't be eating, and don't eat this with that at this time of day. And it's just like, oh goodness sake, why can't it just be simple?
Yeah, got it.
And then I met you or found you.
I love it. And so, I mean, it sounds like you're where a lot of women are or were, and like your own version of that food prison of like just this, the weight loss mentality of the all or nothing, the good, bad, the right, wrong, the judgment, the stress, the emotion, the obsession, all of it. But also this body prison of walking around in a body that was making you feel, you used the word frumpy, and just like not feeling like your best self, not wearing what you wanted to wear. And you also mentioned that it kept you from saying yes to things. Like you weren't socializing and being that version of yourself that would actually get that connection that she wanted. And so, I mean, you said so many other things. I'm just curious, like, most women, you had been told like the weight, you had learned the weight loss mentality of like, if I want to address this, then I've got to, you know, eat less, move more, all that. And so what would you say the journey then became for you? If it was no longer a diet, you know, journey and a weight loss journey, what did it become for you instead? And what is the journey that you're still on?
It changed completely. So I learned, I think it was from week four when we did the food experiment, just kind of stripping that back and just realizing that food is just food. And that's a really easy statement to say, having been, you know, through your course.
Yeah.
But it was just so nice just to kind of strip everything back and to hear you say, if you want to eat something, just eat it.
Mm.
I was like, what?
Wow.
What do you mean, just eat it?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lose weight doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And it was...
So it was a journey of permission.
Yeah. But there's also, I've been on a journey of permission before,
right,
but too much permission.
Right.
Because I got to the stage where it was like, I'm not cutting stuff out, but then you go the other way and you start right. eating too much of all the bad,
right.
what was construed as bad stuff before.
Right, right.
So it was just, I don't know, it was just, stripping everything back and not having just getting into my brain, you know, into the brain work, and just kind of realizing that I was carrying a hell of a lot of baggage that was weighing me down. That it wasn't just, you know, the weight of,
yes.
of my body, it was all the weight of the abuse that I was carrying with me. It was just everything. And so once we sort of started doing some of the work, which
yeah.
and I admit at the beginning was really, really hard.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that I persevered with it, because I think I said to you quite early on, you know, I'm finding this really hard and I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just keeping on giving it that chance of it working. And I don't know, something just clicked quite early on, and it was just such a, I think even after probably maybe the first call, couple of calls.
Yeah.
And, you know, just working through through some of the really early stuff. And I just thought, this is making sense.
Mm.
And this is, you know, something that I can do and can follow. And I can see how, even if I do fall off the wagon, that I can get back on it, and this can be my life, and it's not a struggle.
But
it all can, as you say, can be feasy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that this can be my life. So you actually started experiencing it as something that, like, wow, this I could, because I think that's one of the things I mentioned, like, if not in the video, in the one of the first videos, like I mention it when, especially when we get to food, is like, if you can't see yourself doing this a month from now, 6 months from now, 12 months from now, it does not belong in our thinking. We've got to find something that would. And so the fact that you were able to identify that and connect with that right away. But also I want to just bring you back to, you said the first couple of weeks, something started clicking, which means it was the self-imaging, you know, work and the inner compass work. What did journey become for you? I mean, and you feel free, you can, but you don't have to. You can kind of just sum up, like, what did you discover that you needed by doing that inner compass work? Like, what was the antidote to all of your, you mentioned trauma and grief and all those things that, like, every woman that comes to this program, we all have trauma and grief and, you know, sadness and shame and all those things that we're reconciling. And we learn, like, a better way to put a wrapper on around and bring ourselves back. And that gets kind of culminated in the inner compass. What did you discover in that inner compass work that you want to lead a life of?
It was understanding what my inner compass words meant and what health meant to me, and what just kind of, I mean, my although my words have stayed the same, my definitions have changed since we did this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I don't know, it was giving myself the time to get everything out that I needed to get out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that I'm quite a writer rather than a thinker. I find it easier just to write things down, because
totally.
I just get more from it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I'm just trying to think what
So what was your new version of healthy?
It was the week we did our mission statement, wasn't it? When I just kind of sat there and looked through all the words and, you know, the conversations that I was no longer having and what I'd stepped into, and just being able to see that restriction and blaming and shaming, et cetera, just did not need to be in my vocabulary anymore. Yes.
Amazing. That, oh, that's huge.
You know, that
that
there was a better, different future for me that was in control of and could live it and kind of, you know, work my way through to it. And it was just so good to kind of as it, you know, we had to do for our mission statement, didn't we, the hell that you were committed to leaving behind and the heaven that you were committed to creating, and just being able to sit there and write those things down and have them on paper. And when I look back now, it's just kind of like, really, is that really how I was, what I was feeling and what I was like?
Yeah, because it doesn't feel like who you are anymore.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like when you sit there and you identify like the hell that we're living in and then the heaven that we want to bring ourselves into, you know, it's so easy to see that it's like, oh, the hell, oh, that's self-created. And like that we can see that we have, like you said, like this, I could actually do this, and you could see that your heaven was possible. That's power. Like when we can see that we can create both, even though it's scary and daunting and overwhelming, to know that we can and to witness ourselves as that person that is like, nobody can, you can't buy that. You can't bottle that up. It's got to be created. You take your power back.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that. I love that. So, one gal asked, I know that if I don't stay immersed in the program, so listening, reviewing program materials almost daily, I find the old thoughts and feelings quickly resurface. Did this happen to you, and do you still experience it 7 months out? I'm laughing because I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the story of our lives. Like we're always going to have those ebbs and flows. Like we're going to constantly just need to keep bringing ourselves back. But so what was that experience like for you? And you're laughing too. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I am laughing.
It's such a great question, isn't it? I'm so glad I got asked.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good question because it was kind of the one thing that was kind of on my mind as we were kind of finishing was kind of like, okay, I've got all the tools. And you feel quite gung-ho, don't you, when you finish? Yes, I've got all the tools. I know what to do. I know what I'm doing. Totally. And then kind of 2 weeks on your own goes by and you're thinking, yeah, I'm fine. And then week three and you're thinking, oh, now I don't quite know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I just keep going back to the recordings of calls or the videos that you did, the work. For me, I have to kind of keep going back to stuff. And it doesn't mean I go back to the beginning every time. I just kind of flip through my book or read through my braggings or, you know, my gratitudes and just kind of go, oh, right, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I always have to have, and I kind of write myself little, you know, if I find a quote that means something to me at a particular time, then I'll write it, I'll print it off and kind of write why it helped me on that particular time. Yeah, and then just kind of look back through that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm so glad this got asked too, because it bears a powerful distinction within it, is that, like, you know, we, it's not a coincidence that everyone, that you, Kim, and everyone who's listening to this call are your soul sisters, and you have like, we all are in the same sphere for a reason, because we're all so alike and we're all struggling with the same things. Right. Women like us that come to this place of kind of, you know, desperation or hopelessness or whatever point we get to, when it's that moment where we're like, okay, I'm ready to draw a line in the sand and shift my life. Like all of you were when you first, you know, started with me, and where I've been, you know, we're always having to draw new lines in the sand, but we have tens of thousands of repetitions of the old ways of thinking. And so part of it is, you know, through listening to the program materials and reviewing and stuff like that, you're getting new Kool-Aid to drink. But the other part of it is by doing the exploration, you're creating your own definitions. You said back, like in the last question, you're like, what was so powerful for me was the definitions for health and the definition for my inner compass. Because that's why half of it, I can give you the systems of thinking and the processes to take yourself. But half of it is we need to create yours. We need to create the breadcrumbs for you. Yeah. And so that's what it, I mean, it is for me, you know, anytime I go through a hard time and it's like never ending because we're human, right? In a modern day world, it's not that this old stuff doesn't come up. It's just that how I respond to it transforms. So can you kind of talk a little bit about that for you and your own experiences? Like when you notice the old stuff come up, like what kind of processes do you take yourself through now to bring yourself back?
Yeah. So, what I've done is I kind of wrote down when I was feeling at my real best doing the course, was I kind of wrote down what I was doing at that point. Mm-hmm. And so now when I kind of look back, I'm not comparing how I feel now to how I felt right back when did we start? April, we started together. It's kind of looking back to how I felt then, and it's kind of like, right, what am I not doing now that I was doing then that was, you know, when life was really flowing and everything was fine and I was very, you know, that I just felt like there was, that I was almost like invincible in a way because everything was going, you know, so well. And
you're in
now that a couple of things have kind of hit, you know, have kind of hit and knocked me back a little bit at the moment, it's kind of looking back and remembering to give myself time to myself to sit down and do my journaling, do my bragging and, you know, some mobility exercises, whatever. But just giving myself time to write it all out, really, because I'm not a great one for sharing my feelings to other people because I just don't want to sort of burden them. I've always felt that way. But rather than keep it in, which is what I would have done in the past, is I just write it out and just get it out that way, or, you know, contact you by the help desk and go, help.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
This has happened.
Yeah, and we had some powerful stuff happen in the help desk, you and I, didn't we? Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
For anyone listening, I always want to, we can get so much created and create breakthroughs through that help desk. Just throwing that out there. But thank you. Yeah, I mean, what you said is so powerful, Kim. I mean, got so many golden nuggets in there. First of all, is like, you know, you found... normally you would bottle up emotions and you found your way to create an outlet for yourself. And it's different for everybody, but yours sounds like it was writing and actually expressing it in the written word, which is huge for you, you know, because we all know, anybody who's listening to this to knows that when, where that, if that doesn't happen, it's going to get eaten. It's going to get saddened. It's going to get Netflixed. It's going to go somewhere, right? It's going to get stuck in our body physically, you know? The other thing that you said is like, and I don't even know if you said it, it was so beautiful. You just told us all, gave us this gift that like, oh, you were able to identify exactly what your sweet spot is when things are working. And there's a recipe that is present, right? And then when things aren't working, you obviously, those things aren't present. And so you have that data to just connect to bring you back when you need it.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
Because when, you know, that's the problem. A lot of it, like, again, like there's so many elements to this program, but part of it is like, we want to find your sweet spot, but we also want to help leave you breadcrumbs for when you're not feeling at your best. Cause we can plan on curveballs. What's going to happen then?
Yeah.
And so part of it is like your health and self-care sweet spot and your and all that, the systems of thinking. But then part of it is the inner compass. And you said like your definition of health was obviously, you know, a big part of your journey. So getting the definition of that is so different because most people's definition of health when I talk to them is like, oh, you know, good, bad, right, wrong, should, shouldn't, did, didn't, eat that, you know, and it's all like, or I worked out, or, you know, even if working out causes pain, like it's just, we all learn that like skewed version of it, you know? So
yeah,
it's really powerful to just hear you share how you bring yourself back. And so again, for anybody listening, one thing that if I could future pace your journey, it's what if you planned on curveballs happening in your life? And this was to help create that resilience every time it happened. Can you talk to us a little bit about resilience, Kim? Because I know that was a big part of your journey.
Yeah, I was just going to say about that, because I hadn't mentioned sort of the health issues that I was going through. So over the past 20 odd years, I kind of had this post-viral thing that every time I get a cold, or which then turns into a nasty chest infection and then turns into this post-viral thing, and I'm off work for ages. And just kind of being able to sort of talk about that and get the data out of the drama just helped so much when I did become ill. What was it, back in September, wasn't it, I think? So although I did get a cold and it did go to my chest and I got a chest infection, I kind of knew how to keep myself I didn't know how to keep myself well, that's not the right word. Well, I knew how to get out of it, and I knew what I knew. Oh, I can't get my words out, sorry.
No, you're doing great.
I knew what I needed to do to make that illness quite shorter than it ever used to be. So I was eating better. I was giving myself permission to rest.
Yes.
But having good quality rest rather than just, vegetating for 2 weeks or whatever.
Right.
And, and taking my vitamins. I didn't let it overwhelm me, which it would have done before, because before I started working with you, I would have immediately gone down into downward spiral of panicking, and the drama would have been there that I'm ill again, how long is this going to go on for, I can't do this, I can't do that. And this time it was just kind of like, right, okay, I need to eat well, I need to drink better, more water, I need to look after myself, I'm going to do those things.
Right. Gosh.
There was no drama, was there? It was just kind of right, this is the data, this is what I need to do. And I came out of it quite quickly, really, for me. And it was...
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It was just so, so different.
Oh, yeah. And it wasn't a coincidence because the other thing that I just want to honor you for is... it came up on one of your calls and I challenged you a little bit and you just ran with it, of like this idea of being sick and being ill being an identity. And what if we built within your inner compass, your version of health, addressing that, and you just took it and ran with it, which is amazing.
Yeah. Because,
and yeah, that's the thing. Like, you're going to get sick. Like, everybody gets sick in the winter time. You know what I mean? At some point in time, some worse than others. And you got a legit, you got a chest infection. I mean, you had it like a crazy one. And that's the thing. Like, you were on top of it the whole time. You're like, I am not going to become my illness. I'm just going to treat. And you just nurtured yourself and you connected. You had, because you had done the work, your definition of health and what you needed in that moment in time. Yeah. In that moment of time, what we need for health is totally different when we're at our best than when we're at our worst. And also usually I remember you sharing when you were sick, you'd get really mad at yourself or why is this happening? Or why am I doing it? You get mad at yourself and kind of mad at the universe and not go into victim mode, but you know what I mean? And you just
I did completely.
Yeah.
Because it used to freak me out, because I'd had so many instances where, something like this would have gone on for 6 months at a time.
Yeah.
And, there's only so much that, I'm very lucky that I work for the NHS and they've got an amazing support system around you. And, I've been really lucky to kind of have that support network around. If I'd worked in any other area, who knows what would have happened?
Yeah.
But this time was just completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different.
For sure. Yeah, that's amazing. So this was a great segue to the next question. How has this program changed your life?
Completely, it has changed my life. So I now feel that I have a good future, that I can do as much as I can to preempt old age symptoms. Just everything has changed, you know. I can't. It's really difficult to put into words without it sounding sort of false or fake, but it literally has changed my life around because I'm just so much better in all aspects of my life. You know, everything just feels light, and I'm going to use your feezy word again. But you know, it is, because I am, life will constantly throw curveballs at us, and we've all got to, you know, get over them again. But each time I kind of learn something different, and can kind of, when I'm kind of having one of those moments, you can kind of go, oh yeah, that's just the drama.
Yeah.
Now what is the data, and kind of, you know, get through it. And sometimes I can hear you, if I'm doing something, and I'll kind of go, and I'll hear Leanne's voice in my head going, is that really is that the data? And I'm really glad this is happening to you, because you learn from this. And I think, yeah.
I was all just right. Exactly that. I'm like, it's in those moments when we experience that, you know, adversity, and then we rally and we come back to ourselves, that's where the growth happens. And I hate my own voice every time it happens, but the sooner I can bring myself back to why is this so great, or why, where's the lesson in this? I grow faster, I get back easier. And that's when I know my definition of resilience is honing back in. And that's what you just said. You're like, you know, every time I have a wobble, I just, you know, I bring myself back and I learn something new every single time. And that's what it's about. And that's why everything that you're, you know, that you're getting, and will get, in the actual parameters of the program, that really is it. Like, it's just a matter of taking the practices and learning them and using them and becoming masterful at them. It's not about learning anything new. It's about becoming this way of being. And I'm all in all the lessons. Yeah. I'm like, hey, if this doesn't resonate, you know, keep what resonates and ditch the rest. So we're obviously drinking Kool-Aid that resonates with you. But it is. It's just a matter of constantly growing and evolving using the same simple tool. Simple, not easy, right? But
yeah,
the biggest transformations come from the wobbles, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. Thank you. Cool. Just a couple more questions. Which week's lessons did you find the toughest, and which were the most valuable?
I would say that the food experiment week was the, do you remember that conversation, that call we had?
I do.
The week before, just,
I do.
We were going to do the food experiment,
the week before,
weren't we?
I can't remember which.
Mm-hmm. Which was it, week six?
It was week six. It was your big fat eating experiment. Yeah. And we had a call before you started it. We had a call and share with them what happened.
We did, didn't we? Where I kind of had a bit of a, I had a massive breakdown, didn't I? Or a little hissy fit with you, kind of.
It was great. It was so valuable. It was.
Yeah. So I had lots of concerns, didn't I, about whether I was going to be able to eat this, and, you know, whether it's that I wanted to do certain things off piece, because I didn't want to do all of version one. I wanted to mix a bit of option two into it. And you just kind of, you know, sat there and took it and went, and what if, and all the rest of it. And I had to eat humble pie after that, didn't I? Because
This is so great because it happens to everybody. So go ahead.
I know. So I did option one, which was the plant-based option, and absolutely bloody loved it. It was just amazing. I felt so much better. It was just easy, because I did not think it was going to be easy at all. And it was just, well, it blew my mind is the only way that I can kind of express it, because it was easy. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed cooking again. It was easy to go to the supermarket, and I didn't miss anything because I was, you know, I was saying, yeah, I'm going, I need my eggs, I need my cheese, I need this and that. And I just, it was just so simple. And then a couple of weeks, or but about 6 to 8 weeks, 6 weeks later, when I tried meat, it probably was, actually wasn't even that far away. Anyway, when I did start eating meat again, it was like, oh, I didn't really like this.
Interesting.
And it's like, it's just,
yeah.
I mean, I can eat meat again now, but it's, but only when I feel that I want to eat it. And I think that was the interesting thing, was kind of being on the plant-based and then going, oh, I'd quite like a burger tonight if we were, you know, if we were going out. Wow. And so I'd have a burger. I wouldn't eat all the bread because I would just feel that I was getting too, feeling stodgy as I was kind of eating it. Mm. But just to have that freedom again to make those choices and to have what I wanted when I wanted.
Yeah, for sure.
And even just to say to my husband, because I didn't tell him that I was going on a diet.
Right.
I just said, yeah, I'm experimenting with some food choices for the next couple of weeks. And there was no drama from him, or, oh, you know, here we go again. And there was no him rushing out to the supermarket and stocking up on, you know, cake and biscuits, etc., which is what he would normally do. It was just kind of, it was just easy. And I just felt so stupid after, you know, afterwards, making the best on that.
No, well, yeah, I mean, just to stack on that, first of all, like, it's so common because we've been growing up in this world where, like, and it happens during week one too, where people are like, oh my gosh, I want to eat everything because I'm afraid Leanne's going to tell me that I can't have something, you know? And so we're so used to, like, to being told that it's going to be restrictive or that it's going to transform our lives in a negative way and all that. And so I think it's just super common what you experienced. But so yeah, I did lovingly invite you into this idea of like, what if it was actually easy? What if it was simple? Because you hadn't even tried it yet, which I, you know, here's why I knew it was going to be so simple is because the content of what you were eating, and yeah, I give an animal-based and a plant-based option for that reason, because like some people like some like the other, and some people, like in your case, you didn't even know that you didn't, that you liked one over the other. So it's just like a great, again, we're so disconnected from our bodies when we're connecting to dieting. But yeah. I knew that what makes the experiment so powerful is not the content of the of what you're eating, it's the intention and the distinctions that I teach that week around feast versus fast and freedom versus control and choosing versus restricting, you know, and it's just and distinguishing hunger versus like boredom and like all of those other distinctions within, like, am I hungry or do I just want to eat? Or like, am I feeding my loneliness or is my belly hungry? And all those distinctions that are living within the, you know, plus literally giving yourself permission to say, oh my God, I don't have to track carbs, calories, fat.
Yeah.
I can just eat. And then it's for the first time ever, you actually listen to your body. Do you know what I mean? And that's why it's so easy. And then it's, the other thing is like, there's a couple things that I say don't eat because of just like nervous system reasons, but we're not focusing on what you cannot eat. You're focusing on all that you can eat.
What I and could. Again,
it becomes this feast or abundance mentality versus this like fast or famine or scarcity mentality. If there's not enough, or I'm not going to be able to eat that. And it's just a totally different experience. So again, you, with good reason, you were probably focusing and freaking out about the content where basically, I think I told you, I was like, I don't care what you eat, just focus on the intent. You know what I mean? The rest will fall in the blender. And it was a radical shift for you. And you were like, oh my God, this is great. This is like, I remember the next week, you know, and it was so great. And so anybody who hasn't yet done the food experiment, and I'm so glad that you're sharing this, Kim. Thank you so much. It's a gift to everyone because you're going to have a freak out at some point in time. And just, I promise you, if you're freaking out, it's because you haven't done the experiment yet or you're making it very complicated. So just do the experiment and you'll find that the lessons and the freedom come from the doing it. Some people, they'll watch the video and they'll like, they'll get it in the video, but you can't, you have to experience it. You have to experiment with it. You can't intellectually understand these shifts by watching the video. You got to do it. You got to try it. So I'm so glad that came up because it was awesome. And that's where the breakthroughs were for you. So cool. So cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. And I guess that kind of comes into the next question and the last question. Like, when did it all click for you? Did that bring it all together, the emotional and mental stuff, as well as the food stuff for you?
Yeah. Cause I think that was when the sort of lessons kind of eased off a little bit, wasn't it? That we, you know, a lot of the mindset stuff had been done. And so from, I think from that week, I kind of thought there was that kind of, it clicked, and I had kind of had that big aha moment. And then it was kind of like, right, I'm going to go back over the stuff that we've done.
Yes.
Because I'm not sure I understood it or did it as thoroughly as I wanted to.
Yeah.
And so kind of going back over that and kind of looking at stuff and
I think
that definitely was the week where it kind of all started, because I just felt so differently, you know. We kind of been building up to that, but from that point it was kind of like, yes, this is what feeling well means, this is what sleeping well feels like, this is what, you know, moving, losing. I just didn't feel heavy from that week on, although you know, that was a point where I did start to lose the weight, but it wasn't just the weight of what I'd been eating, it was just the weight of everything else. It was almost like, I don't know, just something, all the weight of everything, shame, blame, guilt, abuse, what I thought about myself, what other people thought about me, it was just like that week it all fell away. And it was just kind of like, here I am, this is the new me, this is where I'm going.
It's interesting. And when you said you started losing the weight, you lost, I mean, just in again, you said it wasn't about the food, it was about all the other stuff. You physically dropped some physical weight too on the scale, I remember.
No, from then I started losing weight, and I lost a stone while I was working with you.
And so from my Googling, we know that that's 14 pounds. One stone equals 14 pounds, which would be 20 something kilograms. No, I'm just kidding. And that's huge. And keep in mind, like, we didn't even start, the food experiment doesn't come until week six. And it's interesting. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because, like, can you imagine if during week one, when you still had all of that mental and emotional weight, if I was like, here's your food experiment. Like, we can't put this new system of thinking around food on top of, like, the weeds in the garden of our mind. We had to do it. And I have to brag on you for a minute, because you are an example. And again, like, the client with the most dramatic results and transformation is going to be the one that shows up and invests that much time and energy. And you showed up and you did everything. So even by the time we got to the big fat eating experiment, you had tried on the freedom goggles. You had tried on the food goggles. Yeah. You were like, we had already paved the way and planted the seeds for the eating experiment to be so successful. And that's why, even if people like feel like they're air quotes behind and they want to dive into the big fat eating experiment, I'll ask them like, hey, did you already try on the food goggles and the freedom goggles? Cause that's the first part anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the thinking around food. And so you're just a testament to that, of like, when you do the work and you show up and you identify all of that like garbage in our heads, and it's never ending. I'm finding garbage in my head every day, you know?
Yeah.
It's, we lay the seeds for the food stuff to come into play. Because it's no longer a conversation about like hating on ourselves and shaming ourselves and blaming ourselves and starving ourselves and beating our bodies into submission. It's about like, oh, this is the only body I have, and I'm going to finally act like I love it and feed it, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. And so, just to kind of, you know, sum up, like, if there's any, what anybody that's currently going through stressless eating right now, do you have any like final thoughts or advice or words of wisdom that you would like to impart upon them that you wish that maybe you had known or told yourself, or just think that you could have been reminded of too, or anything that would help anybody listening?
I would say, don't ever be afraid to reach out to Leanne, whether it's via the help desk or on the weekly calls. And I would say, be truthful and honest and open with yourself and with Leanne, because that's the only way that you will be able to unpick the problems that you have. So you may think that you've joined this because you want to lose weight, and become healthy, which is what I thought. But the stuff that we've unpicked from my past and let those all go, that's where the real benefit happens. And you, there's no point turning up for the calls or doing the lessons and not committing and not being open, because you're just fudging it and you won't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
So I would say you've got to be open, and if something crops into your mind when you're on the calls or doing the work, reach out and ask for that help.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And I love how you said unpick your problems, you know, and that's, it's so true what you said, because like everybody, we all show up with our own stories, whether they're self-created or they actually happened, whether they are, you know, physically traumatic or emotionally traumatic, whether they're still happening or whether they're in the past, you know. And, you know, you just, it's not uncommon that I work with a lot of women who, you know, have done the therapy runaround and have tried to address it with like self-help and all that and haven't figured out a solution. And notice, you know, we don't in this program, and Kim, you can attest to this, is we don't actually go unhash all those old emotional wounds and traumas and, you know, a can of worms.
Yeah.
We've all done it. We've like, that doesn't help. It makes us focus on the solution, on the problem. What we do is we actually craft a solution for addressing those emotions and dealing with them in a healthy way. And so I love that unpick your problems, because that's such a beautiful way to put it. I'm going to totally steal that. No, I'm just kidding. I'll give you credit every time, I promise. I love it. Unpick your problems. That's exactly what it's like. And what I say on, you know, when I invite women to the program is like, let's have better problems than food and body problems like this, because the control and the deprivation and the punishment and persuasion, it's all self-created. Like, let's find some better problems and be done with it.
Yeah.
You know? So I love how you said that. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for just sharing your truth and sharing your heart. Anything else you want to impart before we sign off?
I don't think so. Just good luck to everybody. You're in the best hands that you could possibly be in, and enjoy.
Thank you so much, Kim. Such an honor, and I'm so grateful to have you on the call, and I know everybody who's listening has gotten multiple nuggets of wisdom from this. So thank you again for agreeing to do this, and for right now, we're signing off. Bye, guys.